Making brachos on smells. So last time, before the fast, we discussed, well, can you smell things they're not allowed to eat? And that had practical considerations, unfortunately, for Tisha B'Av. And we said that one is allowed on Tisha B'Av, one is allowed to smell things that have a pleasant aroma. We're not overly concerned that you're going to come to eat it, as opposed to Yom Kippur, where it may be a bigger issue. Let's turn now to the next part of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Zayin, where the Shulchan Aruch is going to talk about smelling things that you eat, meaning the following case. You are about to eat a melon, right? And you want to really get a beautiful fragrance of the melon and smell it. But you're also going to eat it at the same time. So is that something you make a brach on, right? You're going to eat an apple, and you're going to smell the apple before you eat it. So we want to discuss today in the specific case of smelling the food that you're going to eat, okay? In the process of eating, smelling the food as well, does that need a bracha? Should you make a bracha? Or should you avoid, perhaps in some cases, actively going and partaking of the fragrance of the food because of possible suffix, of a possible issue that may come up? So there's a Gemara again in Brachos. All the Gemaras we talk about here are on the same daf in Gemara of Brachos, and daf Mem Gimel on 43a. So the Gemara says in the name of Rav Chista that we make a bracha of Borei Atzei Besamim, on incense, as we've mentioned this before, because incense contains pieces of wood, of the barks, or the pieces of wood of the tree itself. And then we said, except for a musk, musk goes in an incense, it comes from an animal, we discussed musk last time. And the Gemara said that the brach on musk is bori mene besamim, whether one is keeping their musk or not. So then that would be the bracha over there. Now the Gemara asked the following question. We say a bori atse besamim on balsam. Balsam is a farsimon. We'll discuss that next time. A type of oil. And in the base rebbe or the base kesar, any type of myrtle. And the Gemara concludes that no, Rav Chista is wrong, that we simply don't go and make brachos on these types of things, the incense or on these types of issues. So the Gemara has all we see from the Gemara is there's a machlokas about something. Should we make it on this? Should we not make it on this? And the Gemara says, oh, the first opinion is refuted. That's how the Gemara ends. So if we had it here in front of you, I'd bring you a comment of the Vilna Gaon. Just a quick background to the Vilna Gaon's comments and why it's important to discuss his comments here. When the Vilna Gaon passed away, he left a lot of writings, huge amount of writings, on every single area of Torah. On Halacha, on Machshava, Tanakh, Kabbalah, everywhere of Torah the Vilna Gaon wrote. And it was collected by his children, and they set up an official Vad, an official organization in the city of Vilna that was in charge of the printing and the handling of the manuscripts of the Vilna Gaon. And that why it was important that making sure that all of the writings of the Vilna Gaon, because he was so popular and because he was such an important figure, to make sure the writings were accurate, that it wasn't someone saying, you know, I also had a manuscript of the Vilna Gaon and he said A, B, and C. Or, you know, this one person might have gotten stolen from the family and taken things and then tried to make their own manuscripts of the Vilna Gaon. Because he was such an important figure, we wanted to make sure he was represented properly. So the family, with the help of Rav Chaim of Elazhin, the Vilna Gaon's most famous Talmud, was in charge and decided what was and how it would be published. And one of the first things that was published were the Vilna Gaon's notes on the Shulchan Aruch, called the Biur HaGra, the explanations of the Vilna Gaon and Shulchan Aruch. Now, what was unique about the Vilna Gaon's explanations? The Vilna Gaon wrote incredibly shorthand, very shorthand. He would look at the Sif and Shulchan Aruch and write very quickly, essentially, what is the source of the Gemara, and then a few other sources that you were supposed to piece together and try to figure out what he was saying. Very, very shorthand, very, very cryptic in what he was trying to say. Sometimes it was very clear. The Shulchan Aruch would say A, and the Vilna Gaon would write a source, which is clearly the Gemara of where the source that the Shulchan Aruch got this from. But sometimes he would bring a source that would seem to be the opposite of what the Shulchan Aruch was saying, indicating that he didn't agree with the Shulchan Aruch's psak. So you had to kind of sit and decipher and figure out what the Vilna Gaon wanted to do. And this is one of those cases where we have different opinions trying to figure out what the Vilna Gaon is telling us over here in the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Vilna Gaon cites a Tosus. Tosus there in the Gemara tells us the following thing, that the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, one of the Gaonim, doesn't have a version, his Gemara, that refutes the Gemara's statement. Instead, what does he say? The Gemara makes the following statement, that we learned that the Hadas, and anything like a Hadas, that resembles it, incorporating whatever is designed to smell, which precludes apples and quinces. Meaning, you only make a bracha, according to this opinion, on something that is only designed to smell. That's what the Gemara says. But if something is not designed for smelling, it is designed for eating, like apples and quinces, things like that, then you don't make a bracha on it. That's how Tosos, or this opinion of Tosos, learns the halacha. You only make brachos of reyach, of odors, of fragrances, on something that is designed only for smelling. But if it is designed mostly for eating, then you don't make a bracha on it. And that would preclude many, many things. Right? Like, what would we do with this bracha of hanosein reyach tov beperos? That Hashem gives beautiful fragrances to fruit. Where would we apply such a thing? The Bir Agra understands that this exclusion means that we never make any bracha, not even bo remein besamim, which is like the shahakol of all fragrances, and certainly not nosein tov reyach beperos, on a fruit that is designed to be eaten. Right? And then the Gra writes something even more cryptic, and there's a three-way machlokas to figure out what the Gra means. What is he trying to tell us? The first is the Damasic Eliezer. The Damasic Eliezer is a super commentary on the Vilna Gaon's commentary. Right? Just like we have Rashi as a commentary on the Torah, and the Maharal of Prague wrote a commentary on Rashi's commentary. So the Damasic Eliezer is a commentary on the Vilna Gaon's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, because it's so cryptic. He says that the whole machlokas is if you take a fruit in order to eat it and smell it. I have two kavanas at the same time. I pick up the apple because I would like to eat it and I would like to smell it. Tosus and Rashi say you don't make a bracha on it, and others argue, the Rush argues and say that you do. Meaning the whole machlokas here is if I want both, if I want to eat it and then smell it at the same time. Should I make the bracha or should not? Maybe, because I have kavanah to eat it also, that knocks it out and says it's not really a proper bracha on smelling, because the main kavanah is really to eat it. The second understanding is the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, he has a different approach. He says the machlokas is if you make a bracha, if only your intention was to eat it, and then you decided after the fact I wanted to smell it. Right? I pick up the apple because I would like to eat this right now. And then I think, maybe it has a nice fragrance. Or I smell something nice coming from the apple. Even though my main intention was just to eat the apple, secondary, I just came up with the idea that I'd like to smell it. In such a case, Rashi and Tosa say you don't make a bracha, because clearly your kavana for the fragrance was very secondary. It wasn't even A and B together. It was very much B after the fact. And the Rush argues, okay, with that, and says, no, in such a case you would make a bracha. What does everyone agree to? Everyone agrees to, according to the Chafetz Chaim, if I pick up the apple because I would like both to eat it and have the fragrance at the same time, because there aren't equal playing fields, according to the Chafetz Chaim, you would make a bracha. That's the second approach to the Vilna Gaon. The third approach is the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, in Or HaChaim and Siman Lamed Hei, the Chazon Ish's numbers don't follow the Shulchan Aruch. He has his own numbering of halachos. Sometimes the Chazon Ish likes to pick on Rishonim. He likes to argue with Rishonim, or people who came before him. So what he'll do is, he will pick a fight with the Mishnah Berurah. The Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish were almost contemporaries. The Chafetz Chaim died in the 30s, the Chazon Ish died in the 50s. So what the Chazon Ish will sometimes do is that he wants to argue with someone who came before him. So what he'll do is, he'll pick a fight with the Mishnah Berurah, who agrees with that person who came before him. So it'll be like on a level fight. But really what he's doing is he's arguing with those who came before him. Okay? You understand the Chazon Ish's trick? Right? How he works sometimes? So this is almost one of those cases. He says the machlokas is when the item is not designated for smelling at all. No one would ever normally smell such a thing. Rashi and Tosa say you don't need to make a birchas areach because it's not normal to smell from such a thing. Rashi argues. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says, you can make a birchas areach on food up until the point when you take it in your hand to eat. Right? Once you take the food in your hand to eat, then it's becoming food for eating. It's an eating item, not a smelling item. And at that point, the fragrance is only memela. It's only secondary. Meaning, I'm walking up to the apple. Maybe it is for fragrance, maybe it's for eating, I'm not sure. But once I pick it up in my hand, says the Chazon Ish, and my intention is I'm going to eat it and I don't care for smelling, I can't go back anymore. It's become only a bracha on eating. Any bracha on smelling would not be appropriate because that's not the purpose of the item right now. And therefore, I would have to eat it and I would not make a bracha on smelling it. Now, lahalacha, how do we pass on this machlokas? The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. That if you pick up a fruit in order to eat it, and your kavana was not for the fragrance, then there's no bracha. Very straightforward. You pick up, what's a fruit that has a strong fragrance?
Grapefruit.
Grapefruit, okay? People like the smell of grapefruit? Is that a thing? Okay. So, your person picks up a grapefruit, okay? If my kavana is that I'm going to eat it right now, my kavana is mostly that I'm going to eat it, then there would be no bracha on the fragrance, because my intention right now is wholly for the eating of the item. Now, the Bir Halacha says this is the case, even if you decide later you want to smell the fruit. I'm in the middle of eating the fruit, I'm halfway through the grapefruit, and I said, I bet the fragrance would be really nice. Maybe you take a big inhalation of the fragrances of the grapefruit, and that would be pleasant, no bracha. Because once I've already dedicated my mind to eating it, therefore we don't make such a bracha. Which therefore, lahalacha lamaisa, excludes many times that you would make a bracha of fragrance on a fruit or a food, because most of the time your main kavana is that you're going to eat it. Most people don't think that, I'm going to eat it and smell it at the same time. And for this reason, it would be very rare to make a bracha of hanosen reach tov peperos on food, because most of the time you want to eat it, you just don't want to smell it. That's how the Shulchan Aruch comes out lalacha. Now, what if I now pick it up with both intentions? Let's go back. I am the type of person who always smells my food before I eat it. I have a fruit. I want the fragrance first. That's how I enjoy my food. I live through the fragrance first. I get to know it, and I smell it. And then after a few minutes smelling the fruit, I'm going to go and eat it. What do we do in such a case? What would the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch said clearly that if my main intention is to eat, then everything else falls away. What if I want to play in both fields? And I want to have fragrance of smelling and also eating. So here we have a machlokas. The Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, who lived at the end of the 1800s. So he writes in his book on the Parsha, the main halachic work of Rav Yosef Chaim is the Ben Ish Chai, which is a work of halacha that goes according to the Parshios. He finds a theme in the halacha connected to that Parsha, and then he'll give you all of the practical halacha for his community in Baghdad, for the Sfarim in Baghdad, of what they need to know. It became very popular, so he writes in this week's Parsha, Parshas Veschanan. Look at that. In Yana Deyomash, the Ben Ish Chai writes, and again in his Chuvas Rav Palim, that one should not make a bracha if you have kavana for eating and smelling. One, even if you want to play in both fields, you don't make a bracha. You only make hanosen reach tov peros if it's only for smelling, which then again would preclude many foods. How many people just pick up foods in order to smell them and don't eat them afterwards? That'd be a very, very powerful person with a lot of self-discipline, right?
In the store.
In the store. But that's because you want to know if it's fresh, not because you want to know what the smell is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, because even in second, you might smell terrible. Right, so that's like a tryout smell. So there would be no bracha. In this case, just to pick up the food, only to have the fragrance and then not eat it, it would be a very rare case, right? But that would be the only case according to Ben Ish Chai. Yeah.
What if you're you have, let's say, an example, like a cantaloupe in your house, and,
yeah,
and you want to know if it's ripe enough yet, and you smell it to see if it feels ripe enough. But if it's ripe, then it would have a strong fragrance. So would you make the bracha in that case, or is it still
no? Because your kavana is really not to get the, you're not to enjoy the fragrance. Your kavana is just to see if you like it.
Okay.
If it's good enough.
What about waking up Shabbos morning and smelling that cholent?
So cholent is not peros. So,
okay,
but
is there, like,
so
you're just smelling it.
But I guess, I don't know if there'd be a bracha in such a case, because it is not, we'll discuss non-fruit items. We'll discuss hanosein reach tov bepas, the bracha on bread later on. That might have a nafkamina to this case.
Right.
But it would just within peros, it would be fruits, vegetables, things like that. It would,
is
not enough.
Like everybody gets that
feeling. Some people like
the
smell. Some people find it overpowering. Mm-hmm. I have some people to call it a cholent smog, because it has such an overpowering.
However, there's always another opinion.
So he says that this is the minhag in Baghdad. In Baghdad, they did not. They would rarely make a bracha of anos and reach tov peros, because How often does a person pick up the fruit only to smell it and not to eat it? This is the opinion of the Torah Shabbos and Siman Reish Shari Zayin by the laws of Havdalah as well. The Chazon Ish agrees, as does Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, the Rosh of Parat Yosef, and his Or L'Tzion Chelik Beis, and Siman Mem Vav. Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul was best friends, was good friends with Rav Adi Yosef. They grew up together in Yerushalayim. Now, within this school of thought, those who say that you almost never make such a bracha, what if you pick up a fruit that is normally eaten with the sole purpose of smelling and not eating? Would you make such a bracha? Right? So the Ben Ish Chai says you would make such a bracha, but the Chazon Ish, everybody else, argues and say that because of the suffix, you should only make a birchas areach on something that is only designated for its fragrance. And I don't know what that is. What is the food that is only designated for its fragrance? I'm not sure. I don't know what such a case would be. Now, this chaps, yeah.
Esrog. You don't normally eat the esrog, certainly not till the end of the week when it's finished.
Good.
But lots of people pick up the esrog and take it.
So for that is a big machlokas regarding on sukkahs, what one should do, because really it's designated for the mitzvah. It's not designated for eating, it's designated for a mitzvah. And for that reason, some of the minhag to be careful not to smell the esrog on sukkahs, because they're afraid of the suffix bracha. But perhaps we'll return to the esrog specifically later on. This plays into this machlokas also, because of this issue. It's not designated for smelling. During sukkahs, it's designated for the mitzvah. And maybe the smell is secondary. According to all these opinions, maybe you shouldn't make the bracha, because it's not its real purpose, even though it does have that fragrance. Now, this chaps an interesting nafkamina by Havdalah. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchas of Rav Neuver writes in Siman Samach Aleph, and also the Sefer Vezos HaBracha say, that based on this concept of the Chazon Ish, that there's a source to have a special besamim holder for Havdalah. Why? Because if I put the food, the spices, in the special holder designated for smelling, then according to the Chazon Ish and everybody of his camp, I'm going to make a bracha on it because it's already been designated for smelling. We'll discuss cinnamon in a moment. But something like cinnamon or cloves. Some people eat with them, some people, whatever, may cook with them, things like that. So according to the Chazon Ish, what should I do? If it's designated for eating, then maybe I shouldn't make a smell on it. But I want to use it for Havdalah. So how do I show that this is designated for eating? You put it in a special box designated for smelling. That's the inyan, to have a besamim, a spice holder for Havdalah, to show that this spice is for smelling and nothing else. That's why one should be careful. That's what the Shmir Shabbos says, based on the school of the Chazon Ish. I think a very interesting reason for the minhag to have a spice holder. Not just that it should be pretty, but it has a practical halachic significance when it comes to Chos Brachos. I think a very interesting idea. Now,
then it's a problem when, like, you're in a group and they hand out a couple of cloves to each person.
Correct. That, according to the Chazon Ish, there would be what to discuss. However, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with all of us. So the Shulchan Aruch clearly says that if you have kavana to smell and eat a fruit, then you recite Hanosin Reach Tov Peros. Okay, it is designated, it's not. If you pick up the food and the designation is that you would like to smell it, so then you make a bracha Hanosin Reach Tov Peros. This is the understanding of the Bir Halacha, the Chavetz Chaim, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and Vezos HaBracha as well, and the Abia Omer of Avadi Yosef in Chelek Yud, in Siman Nun Hey, and Rav Avadi Yosef picks this as one of the many places where he argues with the Ben Ish Chai. Rav Avadi Yosef was a younger Rav when he was in Egypt and in the Sephardic communities, the Iraqi communities in Eretz Yisrael, and he would give shirim as a young man, and he would often argue with the Ben Ish Chai, who wasn't even alive at that point. And he would often argue with him, and it got him in a lot of trouble as a young man, because the Iraqi community held the Ben Ish Chai to be posek achar, on the most important posek. And Rav Avadi Yosef would always follow the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, who he felt would be the proper leader for the Sephardi community, over the Ben Ish Chai. And this was a big issue. They attacked him, and there was letters put out against him, and he stood his ground. It was a very big issue. And that's also Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who was the chief rabbi after two generations after Rav Avadi Yosef. So he also, Rav Avadi Yosef, did not always see eye to eye, because Rav Mordechai Eliyahu was from the camp of the Ben Ishchai, the Iraqi community who held the Ben Ishchai on a pedestal. And Rav Avi Yosef always said, "La'chzir atara liyoshna," that we have to return the crown of the Sephardic community to the Shulchan Aruch. That really where we should be following. And this became a very big issue, to the point where Rav Avi Yosef published a multi-volume commentary on the Ben Ishchai, which was really just a multi-volume a disagreement with the Ben Ishchai of where he felt that he should have followed the Shulchan Aruch. This is one of those cases, because the Ben Ishchai is going against the Shulchan Aruch. And Rav Avi Yosef says, how can you go against the Shulchan Aruch and go against the Salach and be Machmer? The Shulchan Aruch says, you pick up the food with the intention of smelling it, it gets a bracha that should get. And therefore, by Havdalah, no question, he says. By Havdalah, you pick up cloves or cinnamon, whatever it is, you should get the bracha, or salmon, whatever it may be. Okay?
Is that the halacha?
That would be for us, certainly for Ashkenazim.
But you have to make two brachas when you
No.
If you smell and then eat.
The halacha would be that if you have a fruit, for this case, that you would like to eat and smell, so then you can make a bracha.
Smell first.
The smell first, and then make a bracha on the food. If that's how a person rolls, if that's what they want to do. Yeah, meaning if you want the intention of smelling. No. Meaning if you're eating a fruit salad.
What she said, we always do that. Is it right?
But in that case, in the case of the melon is different, because in the case of the melon, you're not smelling it because you want a proper fragrance. You're smelling it to test it out. You don't know what it smells like. If you're the type of person who you have a fruit salad and you pick up all the fruits and you want to make hanosan rechsov peros before you eat it because you purposely want it, then you can make such a bracha. But if you're just going to eat it and you're getting a secondary odor, a secondary fragrance in the fruit, but it's not your main intention, my feeling is most people don't do that. Most people go and they eat the fruit, not concerned about the smell. Just because it's coming in afterwards, we're not overly concerned about it. Okay? Now, what about the nusach ha-bracha in our discussion? So the nusach ha-bracha is also a machlokas. There's a machlokas over the nusach for the bracha. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch write, you should say hanosin reach tov beperos. And then they confuse us, because then they say shanosin reach tov beperos. Not hanosin, shanasan. They mix it up. And this leads to a lack of clarity. And because of this lack of clarity, the Ben Ishchai writes in the Rav Palam in Chelek Beis that some avoid this bracha altogether because they're not sure how to make the bracha. But that's not what most people do. Many Rishonim say it's asher nasan in past tense, who has given already a good fragrance to fruit. This is the opinion of the Bahag, the Rif, the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, the Smag, the Smak, the Rashba, and the Rosh and many others. However, most poskim say the bracha is hanosein reach tov beperos, as we commonly express, and this is the sheet of the Levush, the Taz, the Ben Ishchai, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Kaf HaChaim, Rav Avi Yosef as well. Now there's a third nusach brought in the Eliyahu Rabba, Asher Nasan Reach Tov Beperos. The Shulchan Rav says this, the Mishnah Berurah mentioned this in other places as well, but generally most people say that one should make a bracha of HaNosen Reach Tov Beperos, and that would be the proper minhag. Let's discuss, just to wrap up, with some practical examples of smelling of spices, where it's a food that people eat it, but it's also, you know, it also has a fragrance as well. The first is cloves. Who here uses cloves for Havdalah? Yes? Cloves are a very common Havdalah item. So the Shulchan Aruch says that cloves are eaten. People will bake with cloves or cook with cloves, and therefore the bracha is Reach Tov Beperos. The Birkei Yosef, the Chida, is bothered as to why the Mechaber thinks that cloves are peros. He thinks that there must be a mistake. People don't eat cloves. And however, the Aruch HaShulchan follows the Shulchan Aruch that cloves get HaReach Nosein Tov Beperos. Do people cook normally with cloves that often? I'm not sure. So that is the question of the Chida. People don't generally eat cloves. The Eliyahu Rabba argues and says cloves are not a pri. It's not a fruit. And therefore, he says it should be borei mine besamim, which is the meaning of people who make the bracha by Havdalah, because it's not a fruit. It's something only to be smelled. Because of this machlokas, many poskim will say to make a borei mine besamim as well, because they don't. Borei besamim is like the shahakol that covers everything, right? So the Derech HaChaim and the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Chayazim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Mishnah Berurah all say this borei mei besamim. Now the Bach says the bracha is borei atzei besamim, because cloves are like a wood of the tree. And this is the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as well, and the Chazon of Avraham Yosef. Now for this reason, many people avoid cloves for Havdalah. Because it could be the bracha is not Borei L'Mesamim. Because of the machlokas, maybe cloves fall under another category, and some people will avoid using cloves, even though it is very popular. However, I saw Rav David Feinstein writes in the Sefer V'Dibarta Bam, which was written by a Talmud of his in Simon Memtes, that the minhag olam is to use Borei Minei B'Samim on cloves, especially by Motzei Shabbos. I think if you walk into most Jewish homes, they will probably have cloves for Havdalah. But he says one should be careful to make sure that you don't make the bracha if the fragrance has dissipated. Cloves will lose their fragrance very quickly, so you need to make sure you change the cloves very often. Cinnamon. The Shulchan Aruch says that all spices are eaten, get reach tov beperos, and this would include cinnamon as well. And this is the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, the Shaar Etzion, and the Aruch HaShulchan. However, the Radvaz writes it should be borei atzei besamim. Why? Because what's cinnamon? It's the bark of a tree. What's greater tree product is cinnamon. It comes from the bark of the tree. However, that's not the minhag. Far majority of poskim say the bracha on besamim is borei minei besamim. And this is the opinion of the Derech HaChaim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Gzos HaShulchan. The Gzos HaShulchan was a Chabadnik, so he's certainly going to follow the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitch Rebbe. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted in V'Dibar Tabam as well, saying the bracha on cinnamon is borei minei besamim, Gzos HaBracha, Shari Bracha as well. And therefore, many people will use cinnamon for Havdalah. We use cinnamon for Havdalah. I use cinnamon for this reason, because far more opinions say that cinnamon is borei minei besamim than cloves. So personally, I use cinnamon. But if you've been using cloves, then don't change it. It's perfectly fine. But many people use cinnamon because there's a greater tendency towards borei minei besamim. That's the bracha we make by Motzei Shabbos. Some Sephardim will say atzei or ispei besamim. They'll make it on grasses and things like that. We'll discuss that another time. Coffee. Ground coffee. Coffee is a fruit. So maybe it should also get a bracha of borei, of hanosin reach tov beperos, because you're smelling it for the fragrance. People like the smell of ground coffee. I'm not a coffee person, so I can't relate. But people do like the smell of ground coffee. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Tazayin that ground coffee that is warm and has a fragrant aroma should get the bracha of reach tov beperos. Because that what is it? It is a pre, and it has a pleasant aroma. This is the opinion of the Shari bracha as well. The Zosa bracha, Rabbi Mandelbaum says that coffee beans on their own are not edible. It's not really a pre in its classic sense. Nobody eats coffee beans raw. That's not something people do. And therefore, it is besamim. It is borei minei besamim, says the Vezosa Bracha. Now, because of this machlokas, the Kaf HaChaim says you shouldn't actively go and smell ground coffee. According to the Torah Shabbos and the Chazon Ish, one wouldn't make a bracha because what is coffee? It's designed for eating. Its main designation is for eating. So according to that whole school of thought we discussed earlier, there'd be no bracha. But according to the Shulchan Aruch and how most people paskin, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you would get reach tov beperos, and according to the Vezosa Bracha, you would say borei minei besamim. Probably safer to make a borei minei besamim on coffee grounds, because again, that is the shahakol that covers everything else. Lastly, pepper and ginger. Pepper and ginger are designed for cooking and not smelling. So the Chai Yadim writes in Klal Samach Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that these are not meant for smelling, and therefore it creates a question about the bracha, and it's therefore preferable to not actively go and smell pepper and ginger because of the Safik bracha on these issues as well. Okay, so this is the topic of fragrances on food. Hopefully it brings some clarification. Just to review Halacha L'maisa, if you pick up a fruit with the intention of smelling it, whether you're going to smell it and eat it or just smell it on its own, the Shulchan Aruch says, and the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah is, and the most poskim, is that one would make a bracha of a reach nosin tov beperos, and that's what one should do. As we said, most people don't do that generally. You generally pick it up because you're going to eat it, and you could care less about the fragrance. It's just something that enhances it. But unless you have express kavanah, you're going to smell it, then one would not make a bracha. But if you do have express kavanah, you can make a bracha of a reach nosin tov beperos. And then we discussed some specific cases, the cloves, the cinnamon, and what the bracha would be in those cases. Is it borei minei besamim? Is it reach nosin beperos? And those issues that come up. Okay, questions? No?